The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. Broadcasting from our secret underground studio in Olympia, Washington, it is time for the Thunderbolts. Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day, you turned on your radio, and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee! All right, got a brand new show for you that no one's ever heard before. So you best hang on to something, because here we go. Welcome to the Thunderbolt for March 20th, 2020. I want to start off this week's show by pointing out that 65% of Americans think that they are above average. Well, that is one of those facts that kind of speaks for itself. I also wish to point out that the average American reaches the worst part of their entire life when they are 47.2 years old. Well, I began my prison experience when I was 47.5 years old. What this means is that I am almost average. And here this whole time, I've been thinking that I was above average. So, probably the central lesson my life has seemed to be the most determined to teach me is how incredibly many things there are that I do not know. That also seems to be one of the central lessons humanity as a whole needs to learn as well. But most of the individual members of humanity don't seem to be listening. And as regular listeners know, I look upon genetic engineering with a highly wary eye, simply because they are playing with the very basic building blocks of life itself, and they don't know what the hell they're doing. They are teaching bacteria and viruses that are carrying genetic information to jump across species barriers. And the thing is that those systems are so insanely complex that humans still have no idea how hardly any of that stuff actually works. We are currently protected by genetic firewalls that have evolved over billions of years to protect us. But these scientists are now simply going around those firewalls and unleashing whatever, wherever. CRISPR technology now allows even amateurs to stitch genes together willy-nilly. And the thing about that is that genes in one context will often do something completely different when you place them in a different context. And scientists have no idea of even the most basic rules about all of that. Genetic engineers, in fact, remind me of children who are playing with a hand grenade. Yes, those children will very likely have no problem as long as they don't try pulling out the pin. And now, in a move uncomfortably similar to an experiment that might be conducted by Victor Frankenstein.
Oh, gods of the West, who guards the gateway of the world, called it Jesus.
Scientists.
Gods of the North may not come forth from the heritage.
Have taken some frog cells, and they have created living creatures that are less than 1 millimeter long. And these creatures can ambulate across a Petri dish. They did this by stitching frog heart muscles together in series so that they all pulse at different times. When heart cells are all together in a frog heart, or any other heart for that matter, they all pulse simultaneously. So one of their new xenobots has a hole in the middle that researchers have converted into a pouch so their new creature can shimmy around,
to keep the rhythm of the years, cause his will to break,
carrying
up his eyes in lasting darkness,
miniature payloads. But as always in this work, there were unexpected side effects. two things surprised the scientists. The first came when one of their new organisms suffered a tearing injury and then stitched itself back together and healed itself. The scientists had no idea they could do that, and they have no idea how they did that. The second surprise came when they dropped a bunch of tiny pellets on the bottom of the Petri dish and then let loose a bunch of their xenobots. And they discovered that the natural movements of the xenobots ended up pushing all of the little pellets into little piles. The scientists had absolutely no idea how or why they did that either. Toxic waste cleanup immediately came to mind as a possible practical application of this ability, but there are very likely to be unpredictable side effects to that as well. And as if that weren't already creepy enough, this research is being funded by DARPA under their Lifelong Learning Machines program, which aims to recreate biological learning processes in machines. If you are prone to having nightmares, then I would suggest you avoid thinking too much about the uses to which DARPA plans to employ such technology. Sam Kriegman, a PhD student on the team at the University of Vermont that is working on this technology, acknowledged that the work raised ethical issues, particularly given that future variants could have nervous systems and be selected for cognitive capability, making them more active participants in our world. And as Joshua Bongard, a senior researcher at the University of Vermont team, confessed, quote, "It is impossible to know what the applications will be for any new technology, so we can only really guess." Yeah, what I just said. Just please don't pull out that little pin. All right, here we go. Well, actually,
wrong track.
I've decided that not enough people hate me yet.
Bang to the beat of the drum.
Because that means that I've been slacking.
Bang to the beat of the drum.
And so that means it's time to once again firmly grasp yet another third rail and throw a few turds into a few punch bowls. Yes, kids, it is time once again to criticize the left, which is an activity that one takes on at one's own risk. Yippee. I don't think it is controversial to maintain that one of many areas where the right is much better than the left is when it comes to messaging and labeling. The Rump himself has proven a master of this art, in fact. Crooked Hillary and Little Marco were very effective, even if underhanded, dishonest, and unethical. However, it is entirely possible to be even more effective by figuring out how to convey our message without being underhanded, dishonest, or unethical. Consider regulations usually come about in order to mitigate or eliminate some problem that was causing harm. Regulations are protections, in other words. What if we started referring to them as such? What if, rather than saying the rump is eliminating nearly all regulations on corporate polluters, we said instead that the rump is eliminating nearly all of our protections from corporate polluters? Well, I think that rings an entirely different bell. The left not only tends to use way too many words, but they often use words that no one can even understand what the hell they even mean. Take intersectionality, for instance. It has become a very popular word amongst an insulated little cadre of activists. However, no one but activists and academics even know what intersectionality even means. And what makes it even worse is that there is another word that not only means exactly the same thing as intersectionality, but it is a word that is instantly recognizable to nearly everyone. And it is a word that has a long proven and even legendary track record of inspiring people into action. That word being solidarity. Solidarity is what will bring you anything worth having. So if it ain't broke, why fix it? I recently wrote a long article describing how over the centuries, the United States government helped white people to steal trillions of dollars of labor and assets from people of color, mostly blacks and Native Americans, though there were also many others. Well, in 2007, Wall Street stole almost everything that all those white people originally stole. The banksters made a bunch of very bad bets that they knew full well were very bad bets by handing out home loans to anyone who could sign a dotted line and creating a wholly artificial real estate bubble. But they weren't worried
because they simply sold those bets to other people by lying and saying that they were good bets. And when they cashed in, they sent their ill-gotten gains to the Cayman Islands. As the world burned behind them. Now this was pure fraud, plain and simple. But no one of note was ever prosecuted for anything. Quite the opposite, in fact. Everyone but them very seriously lost, while the thieves laughed all the way to the bank. The bank that they owned. And meanwhile, a bunch of people couldn't pay their home loans. The government responded by creating trillions of dollars literally out of nothing. Now they could have paid off all those bad loans and the banks would have gotten their money and the homeowners would have kept their homes. But instead, they gave all that money to the very same people who just stole everything. The theory was that they would invest that money and create jobs.
Silent counsel against its deadly pressure.
But instead, they simply stole all that money too.
Rising and spreading like a ghastly shredding barrack warmer. Deafening the creatures of the deep. Waking the old ones from their sleep. Bloomy-eyed denizens of the sepulchral deep. The men are silent. The captain wipes his last words in the dark. Each breath steals time from the fetid air. The vessel of war soon to become a watery tomb.
And one of the things they bought with all that stolen money were all of those foreclosed homes that they could now purchase at a buyer's sale price. And these days, the banksters are renting those homes out, often to the very same people that they stole them from in the first place. Now, I'm sure that most renters have horror stories about trying to get their landlord to fix something. So imagine trying to contact a corporate landlord about something like burst plumbing. For I am quite sure that their pre-recorded robot voice does not have a number to push for that one. And it wouldn't do you any good anyway, because your new corporate landlord has taken up the practice of making you, the renter, responsible for things like burst plumbing and leaky roofs. Yes, look, it is right there in your rental contract. And your new corporate landlord also tends to evict people for the flimsiest of pretexts. And try contacting anyone at the corporate office to try to work something out on that. Ha! And then try finding somewhere else to live with a recent eviction in your rental record. Anyway, what all this means is that all those white people bought all those homes largely by exploiting people of color. And now, Wall Street has stolen all of those homes from all those white people who are now renting rather than owning, meaning that all of that equity is now being siphoned off to the Cayman Islands rather than building our communities. And therein lies a whole bunch of our other problems. And now, it's time to take a quick station break. We'll be back in just a minute. The views expressed on the Thunderbolt are my views, and no one else's. Those views do not necessarily reflect the views of any of the stations that air the Thunderbolt, nor anybody that has anything to do with any of those stations. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. Welcome back to the Thunderbolt. This week's feature story contains the perfect Thunderbolt formula. Yes, kids, we have social justice merged with fart jokes. There is true poetry here. And I mean that literally, since this story also literally features a semi-crime-fighting poet. Yes, it's a trifecta! Anyway, Washington Square Park is a 9.7-acre public park in the Greenwich Village neighborhood of Lower Manhattan. It is an icon, a meeting place, and a center for cultural activity.
Waiting for you and your spring screaming green. You've come to make them see and to set them free and then run into spring.
Over the last couple of years, though, Washington Square Park has become a center.
Run, little girl, and bring your spade, start to dig up their cold and frozen souls.
For pickup artists
that far underneath
and pervs of all sorts.
To the spring.
And many ladies have been complaining of serious sexual harassment on a regular basis.
White and very slow, slowly, slowly, laid the woods to sleep. Everything does
The skirt chasers are reportedly rampant, and their numbers have been growing. Evidently,
some little girl, the sun will tell you that
there's a man in the neighborhood
you now,
named Todd
will spread its light
Valentine
into spring.
Really? Anyway, Mr. Valentine is operating a 7-day, $2,500 dating skills boot camp, where Mr. Valentine teaches up to 15 students, quote, at a time, how to hit on random women. And graduates of Mr. Valentine's course reportedly employ what is called a cold approach, which consists of walking up to woman after woman after woman and trying to find one with whom the strategy will work. Well, the vigilante poet to the rescue. Enter Peter Chinman.
Hi there.
In March of 2017, Mr. Chinman quit his job to write poems for strangers, and Washington Square Park became his central venue. However, over the last year, Mr. Chinman began noticing a disturbing influx of men who were constantly hitting on the women that mostly just wanted to enjoy a quiet break in the park. Thus, Mr. Chinman decided to directly confront the issue. As Mr. Chinman told the New York Post, the park is my community. It is where I am every day. I felt like this was something bad happening in my community, and I needed to call it out. I repeat, I felt like this was something bad happening in my community, and I needed to call it out. And thus, does Mr. Chinman deploy the very strategy that the Thunderbolt has been advocating for years? Mr. Chinman found that the most effective method of intervening is to approach the wannabe Romeos and tell them that he's doing a documentary about pickup artists, and then asking them for an interview. Mr. Chinman estimates he's done this some 50 times. And he says it completely derails what they were doing. And by the end of this summer, no one was doing it in front of me. Yeah, what I've been saying. How about we recruit an entire army of vigilante poets to start doing interventions in other areas as well? Or, if things get really heavy, we can pull out all the stops and deploy the last resort. Yes, kids, we can hit them with the dreaded Bart Ferry. Bill Boucher was already infamous as the serial farter of the West Village, where he had been using his black rubber hooter device to startle and offend people for over 10 years. Which is yet another strategy that I often deploy right here in the Thunderbolts. However, though Mr. Boucher had always played his prank simply because he enjoyed the reactions, when he took note of Mr. Ginman's success, Mr. Boucher was inspired to join the cause. And so, the Bart Ferry teamed up with the vigilante poet at Washington Square Park. And he began barking upon the predators. Mr. Boucher reports that this tactic also takes the ardor out of trolling. The pervs of Washington Square Park are now under direct frontal assault from two different directions. Many of the denizens of Washington Square Park now report that things have gotten much better since our new superheroes began leading the charge. Well, you see, this is the thing about taking action. You not only provide a push for your issue, but your example also stirs others to take action as well. If this continues, then the next thing you know, we're going to have the clowns wanting to get in on the act. Yes. That would be the nuclear option. So let's not let it devolve to that point. Let us all now go get to work. All right. That is almost it for the news and commentary section this week, though this week's show is actually now going to become an exception to a few rules, as for a while now I have been predicting that something unexpected was going to happen that was going to radically alter our entire reality paradigm. While I was highly skeptical at first about the seriousness of this new viral threat, my skepticism vanished when they basically shut down the economy. And, you know, they wouldn't do that unless this thing was very real, meaning that we are now officially in uncharted territory. So normally at this point, Olympia listeners go to our local activist events calendar, whilst for Seattle listeners, I play music or comedy bits or whatever. But amongst a vast plethora of earth-shattering developments brought about by this new reality is the fact that the Thunderbolt calendar has been canceled due to a complete absence of any there being there. We're all here now. Therefore, everyone gets the same show this week, and truth be told, not having to produce two separate shows actually makes my life a lot easier. Yes, so as Kim Dobson pointed out, during these socially isolated times, listening to your local community radio station is a good way to stay in touch with your community, and the internet is still working, so information is still available, so at least temporarily, I will continue thunderbolting. But I suspect that from here on out, things are going to be different. I'm going to play some music now for you. This is Rusted Root. Enjoy. Mm-hmm.
the earth I scream down, and no one listens to me. Back to the earth I live now, for long. Look, I'm a commercy, my hood, my word. Look, I'm a commercy, my hood, my word.
Preceding that was Infinite Tambora And we started off that set with Laugh as the Sun. All of those songs from Rusted Root. And that's it for this week's show. Please keep in mind that the views expressed on this program may or may not reflect the views of this radio station, but in either case, this radio station is not responsible for those views. You can find the Thunderbolt on Facecrack, though it is better to go directly to the website, which is at dana98501.wordpress.com. I love making these. Hope you love listening. We'll see you next week. And
thank you very much.